Radio.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
It is an honor for me to be remembered at the university and most appropriately my association with the veterans.
This afternoon, we remember Moorhead civic and educational leader Al Baldwin. He died of cancer Sunday.
Five people are killed in a house fire in Bracken County.
And a rural telephone executive says Kentucky is not yet ready for telecommunications deregulation.
In sports, baseball's All-Star Game holds its home run derby tonight.
Bud Lou cast the stocks.
Clear tonight with a low near 70. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
Fire investigators in Bracken County are trying to determine what caused a blaze over the weekend that killed five people. Dead are 35-year-old Ranny Doss and her children, 13-year-old Michael Doss, 6-year-old twins Bradley and Emily Doss, and 16-year-old Dylan Eldred. The father, 45-year-old Keith Doss, survived the fire at the family's home on Brooksville-Powersville Road. Neighbor Michael Wallace was present when the blaze engulfed the two-story structure. He spoke with WDKY in Lexington.
Whole front of the house was on fire. Two of the residents got out, and they was dragging out the father. Left the wife and all four kids inside. It's pretty tragedy. You know, I've lived here for 5 years, and they were real close friends. I don't know how he's going to live with that. And, you know, he'd been married to a woman 18 years. 18 years, have four kids with somebody, he's going to have a difficult time.
Keith Doss was pulled out of the house by his brother and sister-in-law. They stopped him from going back inside for his family. The fire happened shortly after 2 o'clock Saturday morning.
Moorhead has lost one of its civic and educational leaders. Al Baldwin passed away Sunday after a battle with cancer. He was 66. Baldwin was a member of the Moorhead City Council for 13 years and once chaired Moorhead State University's Department of Military Science. A native of Danville, Baldwin spent 22 years in the Army, retiring with the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. In February, MSU named its Veterans Resource Center after him. Baldwin called that move a great honor because of the work being done there.
These young men and women have had the opportunity, the unfortunate opportunity, but many of them have had the opportunity to view war up close, and it leaves some of them with some problems, but most of them are ready to move on with their lives and move on to other careers.
Baldwin said helping former soldiers get college degrees is a noble endeavor. During his own career in the military, Baldwin received the Bronze Star, 2 Meritorious Service Medals, the Joint Service Commendations Medal, and 2 Army Commendation Medals.
Calling him a man of integrity and someone who was always civic-minded, City Councilman Tom Carew says Al Baldwin will be missed. Carew and Baldwin were friends and served together on council and the Moorhead Utility Plant Board. He says Baldwin was a straight shooter.
Oh, yeah, you knew where you stood with Al. He and I had many arguments, but we always respected each other's opinion, even though he would be frustrated with me at times. I knew he was a straight shooter and was always doing what he thought was best for Moorhead, and in many cases, most cases, it always was best for Moorhead.
Carew says Baldwin was a man you could trust who always put his community first.
The head of a rural telephone company in Kentucky says the Commonwealth is not yet ready for deregulation of the telecommunications industry. Greg Hale is general manager of Logan Telephone Cooperative, which supplies phone and internet service in the Logan and Butler County areas. He testified in Frankfort this afternoon before the legislature's Economic Development and Tourism Committee. Hale says there are too many parts of Kentucky that lack real competition.
We would think that deregulation should be considered in areas that are truly competitive. That's just not the rural areas. You know, if there's true competition there to kind of make sure everybody keeps prices down and people do what they're supposed to do, competition that'll work.
Hale says he opposed a Senate bill to deregulate the industry earlier this year because the rural areas have few providers. The measure was backed by AT&T and promised new investments in wireless technology if the company no longer had to guarantee basic phone service overseen by the Kentucky Public Service Commission.
Kentucky needs a search and rescue program that can respond to emergencies all over the Commonwealth. That's what representatives of the Lexington and Louisville fire departments told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort last week. Greg Baer is Lexington's fire chief. Currently, he says, the state's large urban fire departments have the resources to deal with natural and other disasters. However, rural areas depend on those bigger cities to dispatch equipment and personnel when they've been victimized. Baer says the situation could leave some communities in jeopardy should there be multiple needs at the same time.
The whole idea behind a state-funded, enacted urban search and rescue team is that we don't deplete any one area of their resources. In other words, we take 20 people from Lexington, we take maybe 20 from Louisville, we take 20 from the Northern Kentucky, 20 from the Western Kentucky team, and before you know it, we have what's a FEMA equivalent Type 1 task force that can respond anywhere within the state.
Baer says a statewide program would control all the search and rescue equipment, so there wouldn't be too much dependence on any county or city.
Governor Beshear says the safety of nuclear power plants is getting better every day, and he supports a dialogue on building them in the Commonwealth. Beshear says things have changed a lot since the first nuclear facilities went online in the U.S. Besides, he says it's a very deliberate process.
If we ever do have a nuclear power plant, it'll take 20 years to do it, and everybody will have their say, everybody will have a lot of input, and the technology just keeps getting better and better. We have countries now around the world, France and Germany, whose majority of their energy is produced by nuclear power. So it's a thing that's now utilized in the world, and I think you're going to see more of it in the United States.
Even so, the governor expects coal to be a dominant source of power in Kentucky for many years to come.
Despite refinements in nuclear power technology and safety, State Senator Walter Blevins is still not ready to embrace the option for Kentucky. The Moorhead Democrats' district includes the former Maxey Flat low-level nuclear waste disposal site. Blevins says, as far as he's concerned, nuclear power continues to be troublesome.
I'm a believer that we ought to take what we've got with coal, with gas, and with wind and solar and try to do some things there, because those things we can manage. Nuclear power and nuclear waste especially is going to be a problem for that industry.
Blevins says until there's a resolution of the waste problem, he'll be against nuclear power.
The Ohio EPA has awarded the Scioto Soil and Water Conservation District an environmental education mini-grant for a science camp. CSI Shawnee takes place at Camp Oyo in Shawnee State Park. The grant is for nearly $5,000. Mike Settles is a spokesman for the Ohio EPA.
The money will be used largely to purchase equipment such as microscopes, telescopes, GPS units, water test kits, and other types of equipment that will be needed for the two-day science camp. The great thing about this particular grant is that while the equipment is being purchased for the camp, it will also be made available to other organizations throughout the area for future use.
The grant was among 14 that were awarded statewide.
With many of his college-going constituents dependent upon federal financial aid, Congressman Hal Rogers hopes and trusts a solution can be worked out this week. The interest charged on a federally subsidized loan almost doubled this month to 6.8%. Rogers chairs the House Appropriations Committee. He has high hopes for a Senate plan that lowers the interest rate to its previous level.
Well, the Senate is working on a compromise that hopefully will result in success. The House is sort of waiting on the Senate to take the first action, and then we will follow suit.
Rogers hopes the legislative agreement takes the federal student loan interest rate back to 3.6%. The Somerset Republican hopes it will be a permanent solution, but he adds, in this world, nothing's permanent.
With sequestration and state cuts in child care assistance scheduled to hit them this year, the Community Action Council is bracing for major cutbacks in its programs. KPR's Josh James has the story.
All told, the Community Action Council expects to absorb over $1 million in cuts this year.
People talk about how they're, you know, the sequestration was a quiet storm and they haven't really seen the impact, but I think that's, you're seeing it. This is the impact.
Charlie Lanter is the CAC's manager for program development.
And our programs have not increased in a long time. In fact, they've been flat funded or decreased for quite some time now. So we were kind of forced to make a series of unpleasant decisions in order to, you know, keep the budgets balanced.
Those decisions include closing the Woodhill Child Development Center and reducing the number of Head Start, Early Start, and Migrant Head Start slots by 75. Lanter says the organization is working to transport those in need to other locations if possible. If any funding is restored, he says the CAC's first priority will be to reopen the Woodhill Center. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Josh James.
A change coming this January might mean that cases in Kentucky's court system could begin piling up. As of the first of the new year, the state's senior judges program will be completely phased out. The program, which was started in 2000, has made use of retired judges to help relieve congested dockets. However, a 2008 fight between the House and Senate over funding for the program led to the initiation of a five-year phase-out of it in 2009. Former Rowan County Circuit Judge William Maines is one of 15 senior judges wrapping up their five-year, 600-day terms in the program.
I'm at about 4.5 years right now, along with some of the others. And I'm down to 23 days to serve, and I'll basically be done at the end of August, and most of the other judges will be done by the end of the year as well. So basically, because the program never was reauthorized by the legislature, it's going to die its own death once we complete our service as senior judges.
However, Maines does say state lawmakers are discussing the possibility of continuing that senior judges program.
Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says he doesn't know why there are so many empty beds at the Fleming County Hospital, but he thinks it could be part of a national trend. The publicly owned medical center is projected to lose $1.2 million this year, partly because of its occupancy rates is only about 25%. Foxworthy says the hospital also cares for many poor and indigent people, and federal health insurance programs have not covered the full cost of treating them. He's quick to add he doesn't see that changing when the Federal Affordable Care Act takes effect next year.
I don't think there are a lot of people that really understand how this thing is going to affect small rural hospitals, physicians, surgeon specialists. I don't think they really know how much effect it's going to have on them until there's a little bit more certainty and a little bit more information about this, and people feel better about using local facilities and local physicians. We're probably going to be facing this for some time.
Foxworthy is a non-voting member of the Fleming Hospital's Board of Directors.
And finally this afternoon, Fleming County is setting up for a special election on July 30th. It'll take place in the county's PVA precinct in order to decide whether or not wine sales will be allowed at Echo Hills Vineyard. Anyone planning to vote had to be registered by July 2nd. County Clerk Jared Fritz says the issue is now in voters' hands.
You know, another part of our democracy, you know, people want it, they'll get it. If they don't, they'll vote it down. So I'll do my job to oversee the election, see it's done correctly.
Fritz says the question on the ballot will be a simple yes or no. He says it's hard to anticipate turnout for any election, but his office is ready for a turnout of up to 90%, and absentee ballots can be filled out in the county clerk's office starting today and continuing until the day before the election.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area, including the cities of Paintsville, Frenchburg, and Salt Lick. Tonight, mostly clear with patchy valley fog developing towards dawn with lows of around 70. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs near 92 degrees, highest heat index readings up to 100. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with patchy fog developing towards dawn with lows of around 73. And for your Wednesday, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs of around 90, highest heat index readings around 100 degrees. Currently in Ashland, it's 91 degrees, Flemingsburg 89 degrees, Winchester 90 degrees, Lexington 91 degrees, Inez 88 degrees, and in Moorhead, it is currently 88 degrees.
It is 4:45. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and we're glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, in just over a month, lawmakers are back in Frankfort for a special session on new boundaries for Kentucky's legislative districts. But, as KPR's Stu Johnson reports, there are no plans yet to resolve another issue facing the state, and that is tax reform.
It's often called real tax reform or comprehensive tax reform, and it's been on Frankfort's radar screen for years. Despite numerous proposals, no substantial change in tax policy has come under serious consideration at the State House. Governor Beshear says Kentucky needs a modern tax system responsive to a 21st century economy, but he admits politicians would rather avoid the topic.
Anytime you mention the word taxes, it causes political concerns, and I understand that. But we've got some very good quality people in the leadership in the House and the Senate that understand that this state needs to have a modern tax system for the future. And so I think that we're going to have some great discussions, and hopefully we'll get there.
A commission on tax reform chaired by Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson offered recommendations last fall. They included a $1 per pack cigarette tax and an expansion of the state's sales tax to include certain services. Plus, the commission said local governments should be allowed to levy a sales tax for special projects. House Speaker Greg Stumbo doesn't feel there's been a push for the group's suggested tax reforms.
I've never even spoken to Lieutenant Governor Abramson about the recommendations. He's never come by to explain them to me, and as far as I know, he's not been explaining them to other members of the General Assembly, or very few members of the General Assembly, I would say.
Many of the Blue Ribbon Task Force recommendations are not new, so even with a bigger push from the Beshear administration, Stumbo doubts there would be much support from state lawmakers.
It's a challenge. It needs to be done. I would hope that at some point in the future that we could address it and address it in a comprehensive manner. But it is a tough political question, and it's hard to get people focused on it because what it really means is somebody pays more and somebody pays less.
Greg Stumbo says as the nation's economy grows, states continue to lag behind. The House Speaker blames tax structures that are not fully linked to the modern economy. In that, the Democratic leader says Kentucky is no different than 49 other states. For Kentucky Public Radio, I'm Stu Johnson.
It is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Chase has sports. He's up right now.
It's going, going, and gone. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. The All-Star festivities will begin tonight at Citi Field in New York with the annual Home Run Derby. The games will pit the National League, who is led by their captain David Wright of the Mets, Nationals' Bryce Harper, Rockies' Michael Kadire, and the late addition of Pirates' Pedro Alvarez against the American League squad, who is led by their captain Robinson Cano of the Yankees, followed by Orioles' Chris Davis, A's Yonas Cespedes, and Brewers' Prince Fielder. Chris Davis of the Orioles is the favorite tonight at 11-4, but the former Cincinnati Red, Barry Larkin, has his own favorite to take home the trophy tonight.
My dark horse is Pedro Alvarez. You know, his addition to this team, I think, does make it a little closer. I think the American League is going to hit collectively more home runs. But Pedro Alvarez, being from New York and going back home and being able to hit in front of his hometown crowd, he's my dark horse.
The home runs will be flying at Citi Field tonight, starting at 8 p.m. With Major League Baseball starting its All-Star break today, the Cincinnati Reds, who are not on the National League squad, are getting a breather for a few days. Including Sunday's 8-4 win in Atlanta, the Reds are 53-42 for the year. That puts them in third place in the National League Central, five games behind first place St. Louis. Shortstop Zach Cozart says he and his teammates are looking forward to a productive second half of the season.
We went through a little tough stretch, and for us to, win going into the break gives us confidence, and we know we're a good team. We're going to, play well the rest of the year, and we're going to prove that.
The Reds get back into action on Friday night as they open a weekend series against Pittsburgh at Great American Ballpark. The Pirates are second in the division, four games ahead of Cincinnati and one game behind the Cardinals. Speaking of the Red Legs, the National League lineup was released this afternoon, and it shows second baseman Brandon Phillips in the leadoff spot with first baseman Joey Votto batting close behind in third. As for the other Cincinnati All-Star, Aroldis Chapman will be pitching out of the bullpen. In other All-Star news, the starting pitchers have also been named, as the National League will toss the 24-year-old right-hander in the Mets' Matt Harvey, while the American League will counter with 13-1 Matt Scherzer on the hill. The Lexington Legends will look to cap off a good weekend tonight at Whitaker Bank Ballpark as they look to take the series from the Delmarva Shorebirds. The Legends currently sit atop the South Atlantic League Southern Division with their 13-9 record, while the Shorebirds are 9-15 on their second-half skid. The Legends will have Matthew Murray on the bump tonight, who holds a 1-0 record, while the Shorebirds will counter with Josh Hader, who holds a 3-4 record. First pitch from Whitaker Bank Ballpark is set for 7:05 p.m. Two notes from the NBA as the offseason free agent signings continue. Elton Brand has left the Dallas Mavericks as he joined the Atlanta Hawks today, signing a one-year deal. Also, Meta World Peace has parted ways with the Los Angeles Lakers as he came to terms with the New York Knicks today by signing a two-year contract. Rowan football coach Kyle Singleton admits that picking a new quarterback for his team poses a dilemma for him. Singleton says senior Stephen Jones, sophomore Devin Helvey, and freshman Spencer Price all possess different skills. Because of that, he could wind up mixing and matching behind center this season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely. There'll be game time situations that'll come up or something. We'll see with a different team scheme defensively that, you know, we think we can take advantage of with maybe a different quarterback in there. So, you know, a good thing about with what we do offensively, it's simple enough, but it's also flexible in what we can do and what type of style we can attack you with.
The Vikings became in need of a new starting quarterback when last year's starter, junior Justin Graham, elected not to return to the team this season. Mason County football coach David Buchanan thinks his team could be primed for a big 2013. The Royals lost only 8 seniors from last season's 8-5 squad and returned several of their key playmakers, including quarterback Jake O'Meara and 1,700-yard rusher Rashawn Nelson. While believing they are talented, Buchanan says the one thing he really likes about this year's Royals is their character.
I really do. I think they're really good kids, and I enjoy coaching them, and I do. I think that's our strength, and I don't know that we have any great players, but I think we've got a lot of good high school football players, and can some of them develop into more? That's a possibility, but, you know, these are really good kids, and it's fun to coach them.
Mason County opens 2013 at home against Boyd County on August 30th. A number of so-called college football experts are already ranking Kentucky's growing recruiting class of 2014 as either the best or second-best group in the country. Wildcats offensive coordinator Neil Brown says while that lofty rating may be a little premature at this point, he's not surprised.
I thought we could have that type of success, not necessarily this early, but I think it's a testament to Coach Stoops and staff's hard work, but also the kids that are currently committed to us. They believe in the vision that we have for the program, and also they've created a real strong bond that regardless of what type of year we have, I don't really think that bond will be broken.
The 2014 success would follow up a banner 2013 class that first year coach Mark Stoops is bringing to UK, which according to Rivals.com is ranked 29th in the nation. That compares to the last three classes of Kentucky football recruits that were rated number 62, 61, and 50. In one other UK football note, running back Josh Clemens has been ruled officially out this season due to an Achilles injury. And finally, hot, humid weather predicted this week in eastern Kentucky will have members of the Round County boys soccer program sweating things out at practice. However, first-year coach Max Hammond says the Vikings will deal with that situation.
Soccer, you don't have to worry about as much as, like, say, with football, because we don't have pads or anything like that, but we just make sure we take the KHSAA-mandated water breaks and do whatever we have to do depending on how hot it is. And if it gets over 100, you know, you got to start for the heat index. Heat index is a big thing. So we have to really watch that and decide what to do based on how hot it is.
Hammonds was named in the spring to replace longtime Vikes coach Alan Evans, who resigned after 9 seasons at the team's helm. The Rowan boys soccer team kicks off its 2013 schedule on August 20th at Pendleton County. That's all for sports. Have a great evening. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single-game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. An eventful day in U.S. markets, although the actual averages showed very little movement by the 4 o'clock close. U.S. stocks were helped early on by better-than-expected quarterly results from Citigroup, which reported income of $4.2 billion or $1.34 a share, driven by a jump in revenue and lower loan losses. And, of course, corporate earnings will be a big market driver this week. Goldman Sachs reports early tomorrow, along with Dow stocks Johnson & Johnson and Coca-Cola. And by the 4 o'clock close, the Dow showing a modest gain, but yet another record close, finishing up 19.96 at 15,484.26. The S&P 500 was up 2.31 at also a record close of 1682.5, and the NASDAQ composite was up 7.41, finishing at 3607.49, and of course that was the first finish above 3600 for the NASDAQ since late in the year 2000. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 18-11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Gold barely budged. It was up only 0.04 of a percent, while oil was up 0.4 of a percent. In economic news, retail sales rose 0.4% in June, the Census Bureau said, which actually was a slowdown from a 0.6% rise a month earlier and weaker than expected. The New York Federal Reserve Bank said its index of manufacturing activity in the region rose to 9.5 in July from 7.8 in June. And, of course, investors are keeping a watchful eye on economic data not only here but from overseas, as, of course, very big in the news overnight was China, which reported that GDP growth had slowed to 7.5%, although that was better than what some analysts thought it might be. In individual company news, shares of Leap Wireless International jumped 112% after AT&T said it plans to acquire the prepaid wireless provider for about $1.2 billion. And Tiffany shares were up 3.6% after analysts at Stifel upgraded the jeweler from to buy from a hold. European markets closed higher with Britain's Financial Times 100 up 0.6%. Main Chinese markets ended with gains as the Shanghai Composite rose about 1% and the Hang Seng inched 0.1% higher. And in Japan, the Tokyo Stock Exchange was closed for a holiday. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 7 cents at 86.02, CSX down 2 cents at 24.34, AEP up 95 cents at 47.50, AK Steel down 6 cents at 3.29, Marathon Petroleum down 14 cents at 73.10, and Kroger was up 13 cents to finish at 37.76. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the Morehead State Public Radio listening area, including Bourbon, Robertson, and Magoffin counties. Tonight, mostly clear with patchy valley fog developing towards dawn with lows of around 70. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs near 92 degrees, highest heat index readings up to 100. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with patchy fog developing towards dawn with lows around 73. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs around 90 degrees, highest heat index readings from 95 to 100. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Patchy fog developing towards dawn with lows in the lower 70s. Chance of rain is 20%. Thursday, partly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 80s, chance of rain is 40%. Thursday night, partly cloudy with isolated showers and thunderstorms with lows in the lower 70s. Chance of rain, 20%. And for your Friday, partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 80s, chance of rain is 40%. Currently in Ashland, it's 91, Flemingsburg, 89, Winchester, 90, Lexington, 91, Inez, 88, and in Moorhead, it is currently 88 degrees.
Don't forget, Tony Hobbs has good vibes tonight at 7 o'clock. That's right after All Things Considered here on Moorhead State Public Radio. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Mike Williams, Chase Scott, Sam Steyer, and Asa Hosada. From Kentucky Public Radio, Stu Johnson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at msuradio.com. For Tanner Boyd and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte. Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.